Okay, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then we will continue with our Heart Sutta class. I think we stop at page 58. Okay, tell me. The mic is here.
Heart Sutta, page 58, continuation of 2.1. Need awareness or mindfulness to see the mind Dharma. If one cannot see form Dharma, then it will be very difficult for them to see mind Dharmas, which are much subtler and much less perceptible. Cultivators of superficial prajna can end the birth and death of their delimited segment, body and mind, but they are unable to transcend the birth and death of fluctuation or the thought. They can be enlightened because they don't have ignorance. So at the moment of death, there is no more rebirth consciousness, but their mundane mind is still there when they are still in the midst of living life. Previous life could be animals, petas, demons or devas, etc. Then this life, say you are a human being, so which one of these is you? None of them, isn't it?
Yeah, continue.
Meditation 3.1 Host Retreat Sharing 2nd to 8th August 2012 Retreat at Champaka Buddhist Lodge by Ajahn Acharo. Conditions are very conducive and the retreat was very well received by all. It had also benefited so many of them in so many ways. These were made possible because of the continuity of mindfulness, bhavana, and great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat. And it had also resulted in such condition for many of the participants to experience rather good meditative state and development of their five spiritual faculties. The conditions during the retreat are very conducive for good bhavana and wholesomeness training to set the base for our past cultivation to connect back to us, thus helping to speed up our cultivation. Every day we chant, take refuge, renew our precept, pay reverential salutation, maintaining quietness, do sitting and walking meditation and mindfulness, bhavana, followed by listening to the Dharma, straightening our views, share merits, transfer and dedication of merits, offer and receiving of dana, radiating metta, Dharma discussion and meditation reporting followed by Q&A, Kamdharma sharing, etc. All these are very, very wholesome and meritorious in nature, and together with the non-humans, our collective group consciousness had created a very conducive environment, which was charged with a lot of very good meditative and wholesomeness energies to benefit so many of us, including all those who had one way or other contributed to the success of this wonderful retreat. This type of retreat is more intense and useful. Hence, the five spiritual faculties and the mind can develop very much faster. It will encourage and motivate many of the participants who have benefited from it to diligently determine to continue their post-retreat cultivation. Do not be complacent, otherwise one will lose this good state of trained mind within a very short span of post-retreat heedless living again. The ability to maintain and continue this good momentum of post-retreat cultivation by integrating it into one's daily life is very important. The momentum of continuous post-retreat devotional bhavana and mindfulness training while having a very good and disciplined daily religious routine and daily awareness of mindfulness training are equally important. A good daily religious routine can be in the form of at least twice a day of strict devotional and bhavana training. That is once in the morning and once at night before one sleeps, followed by paying respect to the Buddha every time before you leave your house and every time when you return to your home. Maintain awareness of all your bodily action and movement within the present moment to cultivate your daily mindfulness until it is very stable. This training of the mind in Kaya Nupassana is to slow down your heedless habitual thinking mind and not your action and movement. Every movement of awareness or sati will help you to break the momentum of your heedless habitual thinking, thus enabling you to stabilize your daily mindfulness training.
Okay, so I will explain a bit. So this daily religious routine is very important, because after your retreat, especially after a few days, at least 3-4 days, 5 days, but here you have 9 days, which is more than enough. But you can maintain stability of mindfulness here when you are in a formal retreat. You don't waste it. You have to maintain that momentum when you go back to your post-retreat daily life. So this is a very important advice. So what you should do is the ability to maintain the continuous good momentum of post-retreat cultivation by integrating it into our daily life is very important. So the momentum of continuous post-retreat devotional, bhavana, and mindfulness training, we are having a very good and disciplined daily religious routine. And daily awareness or mindfulness training are equally important. So a good daily religious routine can be in the form of at least twice a day of strict devotional and bhavana training. That one is the before you sleep, when you wake up. Maintain mindfulness, then do your meditation. You can start off with radiating loving kindness, metta, or mind sweeping method if you need to. Otherwise, you straight away radiate metta, then settle down, do your chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato, to make you calm, composed, peaceful with the sadha. Then silence your mind, meditate. When you have developed the mindfulness, initially is your waking moment. Immediately you wake up, aware of your posture, then mindful of all your activity and movement. You need to go to washroom, get ready, clear up yourself, do it. Then after that, you can meditate. Then if you are still working, you have to wake up earlier. Where you need at least, effectively, at least initially, half an hour or formal sitting, metta, radiation, a little bit of chanting, then you sit. So total about 45 minutes like that. Then you need to spend some time washing up and doing all those things. But as you do it, you become mindful, automatic. Then not only how you wake up, how you go into your washroom, answer nature's call, but even how you come out and brush your teeth. All your activity and movement is there. Then how you stand in front of the wash basin. Normally you have a mirror in front. Then you see your action, your movement, how your hand go and get your toothbrush. Then how the hand move and get the toothpaste. Then how you turn on the toothpaste. Everything mindful. Then it becomes automatic later on. Initially, maybe you slow it down a bit. It's just like training yourself in any game. You are not skillful yet. But after you do it for a while, you become skillful. Then everything like automatic. Then how you take the toothpaste, you're fully aware. Then how you move into your teeth and all those things, brushing. Brushing means brushing, understand? Aware. But most people, they are not brushing. Every moment they are thinking, thinking, thinking. Even when you are brushing your teeth, sometimes you poke, didn't go into your mouth, go to the side also, you don't know. Where you are thinking. Then sometimes suddenly you worry, oh, office, this one not done yet, wow, I must hurry. When you brush, you are not with the movement, you are not aware. Then you can't even feel anything. Your toothpaste, the mint or whatever, you should feel them. Yeah. Then when you really know how to brush, finally, the object, everything is not there. Even the so-called mouth, tooth, gum, everything is not there. Why? Because you are mindful, aware. Only the mind state, understand? Then only the sensation you realize. That is the only more real. I call it more real. The rest are all not real at all. The rest are, when you perceive it, are external form. Yet to you, form is no longer important. More important is the mind. That's why without mindfulness, you cannot see mind dhamma. You cannot be at the moment of feeling and all those things. So all this movement is, of course, kaya nupassana. But there is no image of that form. It's just aware of the movement. Then the sensation between. Then later on, you will come to realize when you take your bath, also same. You are fully aware that nobody inside there. Then what you feel is a sensation. How the shower, you use the shower, how the bucket when you pour, of course you're mindful of your kaya. Then how this water flow through the stream. Then how it drip down. You can feel them. Everything. That's why you go towards the mind. And the mind, you just feel. Then from the feeling, you are very near the awareness. You have the pure feeling, no thinking. Then later on, as you become more and more mindful, you become different. That's why I wrote here, maintain awareness of all bodily movement and action. Whatever movement and action you do, your awareness is with it. You have to do that. And you have to do it throughout the day to really become skillful. To really develop the sati sambhajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. Means instead of only awareness of the four posture, all the in-between connecting movement and activity, you have to be aware. That is what daily mindfulness is all about. Then when you are able to be aware within the present moment, to cultivate that daily mindfulness, you have to do it until it's very stable. Then, kaya nupassana, always remember, is to anchor your awareness so that you are with the movement. When you are aware with the movement, you cannot think. That is what kaya nupassana is all about. Then, when you anchor it to the movement, you actually slow down or completely do away with your thinking. You understand? Not to slow down your action. I realized in the earlier day retreat, what they teach you at the formal meditation, the retreat, slow down your action. Walk also slowly. Do everything slowly. And they dare to give the example. I went to one, because actually that time I don't need to go and listen to Dhamma talk. But one group of my Kayamita, they suddenly informed me after my class. He said, Bertio, this Sunday, because my class was Saturday at that time. He said, this Sunday there is a overseas Western nun, I think. Nun. He is coming to the BGF or the what that time. BGF, yeah. The old building, not the new building, many years back. He said, he's talking about daily mindfulness. Then he said, where do you want to attend or not? I said, okay lah, if you all want to go, then we go lah. I went there, I listened. You know what she tell them or not? Very logical one, no? We don't have a fan here. He asked them to look at the fan, no? He said, you see now, running very fast, you cannot see that. How many blades also you cannot see? Then he asked them to off the switch, so that the fan slow down. He said, slow down. Now you can see that how many blades and everything very clear. Now that is mindfulness. That is daily mindfulness. The moment I heard that, then I turned around, then I told my Kayamita, let's go for a drink. That's why we went for tetare after that. Because they totally cannot understand what sati is. Because they think sati is something you can see with your eyes, slow motion, only you have sati. Fast, cannot see already. Sati is not like that. Sati is to slow down your thinking. The moment you are without thought, you see automatically. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Sati is already there. Where got people practice to be mindful? You know what the analogy is like or not? You are teaching the fish how to swim, no? You understand or not? The fish, automatically you throw into the water, he will swim, understand or not? We already have sati inside, you understand? Our true mind is already the silent mind, the meditation, the mind in sati. Why must you practice to have sati? Because you don't understand. You think you don't have sati. It was there. But because you think a lot, you are heedless. You are preoccupied in the thinking, the emotion, the reaction. That's why all these are like cloud. Cloud your nature. Your awareness cannot shine forth. And they don't understand this. That's why they practice to be aware. Who practice? The thought practice. The thought want to note. The thought want to be aware. But it's actually not aware. It's another thought seeing the other thought. That is not sati. That is not mindfulness. That's why sometimes they tell you in the meditation, ayo, I still got a lot of evil root. I still got a lot of dirty thought. You say, I aware, no, that anger still come up. No. I still fail with it. I still have anger. Do you think they are aware or mindful of anger? They are not. But after they get angry, then only the thought recall that they are angry. That is not sati. Anger means the moment the anger starts, your mindfulness stay with it. That one is aware of the anger. No thinking, no movement, nothing. Then that one cease. That is truly aware. Means you are at the moment of that emotion. That is aware. After that, you recall through mind, recollect through mind, and say, you saw your anger. The thought see the anger, which is another thought. So all this, you cannot understand, you cannot progress. My daughter got something.
Can use back the same example. Because like this one, the minute I see this, before my brother come, already anger arise because of this.
Yeah.
Then I will start to really see why am I angry. It is because, really because of this. Then why this one? Then when I see, I really have to see what is this actually. This one, there was an apple tree. It grew, sunlight, with rain, grew an apple. Someone had to pluck the apple, sell it to my mom. My mom had to give it to me. This apple is on loan from nature. It is not mine. This straightening of my view. It is everybody's apple. Someone would steal it, nothing saying he's wrong. He took it from his means, his ways. Society says something is right, something is wrong. In the war zone, what right, what wrong? You want to survive, you fight for whatever you want to eat, you eat. Different situation, something else is right, something else is wrong. So this one, what is it really? To see it, this apple, what it really is it's a seed that has grown into a tree and come out again. That is what it really is. It is not my apple. It is not something my mommy give me. That is the wrong view that needs to be straightened out. This is everybody's property. If I can see this like that, then I start to see my eye, my ear, my nose, my head, my mouth, my hand, accident, gone. Is it really mine? It's on loan. Even my brain, all my memories is on loan. All this storage, what I want to keep, is on loan. When all this go away, there's nothing to begrudge. It's not mine in the beginning. When I came empty. I got all this. I got a brother. I got a mom. I got apple, all on loan from nature. Then what is there to be angry about already? You need to take lah. Yeah. That is the when I heard.
Yeah. Very good. That's why she reflected, she contemplated, then she used her own way of understanding, which is very good. So when you understand that, you straighten your view. You don't own anything. Empty you come. Empty you go. Then she start to understand what I mean by dependent originating. Like this table. How does it arise? You need raw material. You need the carpenter. You need a skillful worker. Then you need somebody to do it. Then they sell it in the market or sell it somewhere. Then the temple bought it, then appear, exists already, arise already. Or somebody bought, donate to the temple, exists, arise already. Like this whiteboard, we use our Kayanamita fund, we bought many years ago. We use and we donate to the temple, whoever retreat come, they can use. Last time, don't have this whiteboard. Last time, I don't know, that one was a very old one, and very difficult to write. So, this is how condition arising, dependent originating. Then how you are born into this world also dependent originating, condition arising, through karma. Then through the sperm ovum, cell subdivide. Then after 21 days, your heartbeat starts. Then you get your food from your mother, the umbilical cord, and all those things. That's how you develop and evolve and become what you are. Then like the apple, it comes from nature. Through the seed, the tree, then it comes. Then ownership is society's rule. Understand? Society says you got money, you buy, then you think you own. But all these are temporary. You don't own anything. Like the Buddha told that monks, those monks, in the Dhammapada, he said, my son, my wealth, my possession, this only the fools lament. For that very body also don't belong to him. Wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein possession, and all those things. You understand? Huh? You can't even own your own form and mind. How can this thing which is impermanent own anything? The moment the breath stops, you lost your identity, you don't own anything. Even when your breath is still there, if condition change, like my daughter say, the ownership also change, understand? Or nature through disaster, fire or what, destroy, gone. So you have to accept the reality that there is society's convention, there is nature's law. There is an understanding that you are not what you think you are. All these are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So why do you grieve in between over emptiness, which is no reality? Yeah, everything is dependent originating. Yin yan fa, yi qie yu wei fa. The whole of Dhamma is conditioned Dhamma. And all conditioned Dhamma are impermanent, bring about suffering. And because they are impermanent, that's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call self. This is me, this is I. All this can be mine. No such thing. That's why it's anatta. It's empty. It's not what you think. You penetrate this, you awaken straight away. You can even become arahant straight away, I tell you. It's not difficult. But because your thought hold on, attached, cling to that delusion. So when you slowly straighten your view, when you understand all this, then you have less attachment because you have less delusion, then you can accept the reality of the moment. Every time everything happens, you understand. You will not hold, you will not cling. So the I, the me, and mine, no more. Everything is nature's law. That's why my teacher say we choose to accept everything as natural. So that sentence, when you understand, is very profound. But it's easier said than done. True or not? Because you don't have the real wisdom yet. You only have knowledge. I remember last time Yun Chan used to tell me, during the early day, he said, Brother Teo, advise people very easy, you know. Don't attach la, let go la. But come to our own, I still remember she told me that. Oh, because that time, she still don't have that type of understanding. The mic. Yeah, the mic. The very core of what? Oh, okay.
I thought Richard's question was pretty interesting about where what you say just now was very enlightening. What your daughter says is very enlightening. But the very fact that we have this kind of concept came very much from school.
Yeah, your conditioning.
I remember when I was a teacher.
Your conditioning, yes.
When we tell the children, you take care of your things, your bag, your pencil. And we emphasize so much that they don't fight over their lost pencil or their lost things.
Yeah.
So now this is a different paradigm shift
Okay.
There's no you.
That's so, why I discussed with Richard on the way out. He said, "Radio very wonderful, but not practical. How to apply to society?" I said, "Sure lah. You don't go and tell them non-self. You don't exist. People will run away, or people will say you something wrong." Understand or not?
In Bukit Jalil now, they are building the first Sichi private school.
Okay.
If I have a chance, I would like to know how they draw the syllabus. Then I was reading the happiest state on earth, and this is Bhutan. And the children are taught Dhamma from a very young age.
Yeah.
So they are not taught our syllabus of the secular syllabus. Yeah, of us, our syllabus, we need it to earn a living.
Yeah.
So it would be very interesting. What you say today is a very interesting phenomenon. And to me, it's like, because I'm at this age, I'm also at grandmother's age, my children not married any. So, and I would think that if I'm at that age, I would think like Richard, what can I enrich my grandchildren?
Miss, what type of education is exactly like Krishnamurti's answer. He said, our education system is completely wrong, completely out. We are teaching our kids to be competitive and violent. Understand now? Well, we identify them. I am a child, I am a man, or I am a boy, you are a girl. I am Christian, you are Buddhist. I Chinese, you are Mokya. Or I Indian, Malay. So you divide. Then go to school, compete. For what? Good grade. To get good job, to be motivated by all the recognition, the profit, the salary. This is what our education is all about. And the Dhamma that we teach, science also didn't teach. Science, the first thing is, the moment you are born, they want to identify you. You know why? Who want to identify you? The politician. They want to control. They want to know how many of you and what you do, so that they can trace you. And now with IT, AI, they trace you faster through the camera. Understand? Huh? Facial recognition. That's the reason why I'm explaining all this. I start with all this, so that you know the present education system first. Then you know this is wrong, so you want to teach your kid the correct way. First, you yourself must understand. If you yourself cannot understand, you are telling story to them, you think they can understand you or not? It's just like I got one Kayanamita older than me. He thought mindfulness is not to make mistake on certain thing. He said like the kid when he eat, he make a lot of noise, means he's not mindful. Then suddenly you drop your spoon, you are not mindful. He's cold devil. Until the kid cannot take it, one day when the kid make the same mistake, the father want to scold him already. He said, "Pa, enough, I know what you are going to tell me." Oh, the father get more angry. So that type of Dhamma, that is not Dhamma. And you know what the son inside the mind tries to tell the father? "I don't want to end up like you." You understand? Huh? That's why you cannot teach them when you are not ready, when you yourself don't have the understanding. When you have the understanding, it's different. But I never teach my kid, not you, non-self, they are too young. Understand or not? I want them to experience life. That's why I say, go and live your life. I only make sure that their citizenship, everything is in order, birth cert, everything, then support them. Then let them grow as a normal kid. If I see special talent, I will train them. Then later on, how I actually develop the understanding with them, they know. I send them later on to Dhamma school, where my wife was worried. He said, now the education system is a lot of what they call religious subject that is other type of religion. So he scared the influence. So that's why I said, okay, you want to bring to Dhamma Sunday school, no problem. Oh, then they got interested, they learned. Then that time, my daughter now know that he learned his theory. Cannot apply to life. That's why when she grew up, she got doubt of certain aspect of the Buddhist teaching. That's why they all didn't really go into Dhamma until 3-4 years ago. Yeah. Then she came and attended my first retreat. Oh, she became different after that. But she realized all the things that she learned was not the real Dhamma. When she understand the real Dhamma, she developed the interest and the understanding. Then she keep on coming and she evolved all this herself. I never teach her. Because she's IT grad. And she's always that mind can understand this thing very far. My son like it best. Although he didn't attend, he talked to me, he learned. And he respect what I do. And he know I understand a lot of things. There was certain situations in life, he came and talked to me. He discussed with me a lot of things, very personal. My daughter sometimes also, certain things. But I just advise them, explain to them. If it were me, I would do it this way. But you, your life, you decide yourself. As long as you don't hurt people, don't harm people, don't cause karmic negativity, make a decision and move. Based on understanding, based on wisdom, act with understanding. That's why when they are too young, don't try to teach them all those things. You remember the recent education ministry want to change the syllabus and ask teacher to give feedback, input. One of the teacher, a headmaster, retired. He was so angry at the education system, he went there and fired the education minister. You know what he said or not? He said, what type of education system are we having? Nonsense. This is ridiculous, he said. Standard 1 to standard 3 or standard 4 kids, don't teach them anything. Just A, B, C, go and sing song and play. Because at that time, how can they understand anything? Understand? Huh? But of course, you say, hey, some kid, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, very smart. Huh? This one, they go that way, they smart, they lose their ability to be a child. Understand? Huh? When they are a child, let them live. Then when they are ready to learn, they learn very fast. You understand? But you standard 1, standard 2, wow, your syllabus, that day I was told by who? Somebody told me, I think Jinhao. The Mandarin school, standard 1 now. You know the syllabus and the thing that teach, I think Tammy also mentioned, like standard 4 one, no? He teach you how to write that word. What word is that? Ling. The fish grew ling. Many stroke one, no? Your standard 1, no? 0 to 9 also supposed to be, if you don't go kindergarten, you're supposed to go to school and learn. Straight you want to teach them like that, no? I mean, you want to speed up your child's education or what? It's your choice. Well, you are the parent. But to me, that is not education. Education is let them go through life. Let them experience life. That's why sometimes my wife also, he like concerned. Hey, you better talk to them. Because they are growing up at this age, they don't want to follow us to dinner already. Well, after 4-1, 4-2, you all also experience that. Last time they follow you, no? After 4-1, 4-2, daddy, mommy, I don't want to go, can I? No, they got your classmates and all the other activities. Then sometimes it's scared they join the wrong group, understand? Become spoiled child and all those things. Then I told my wife, you don't worry. You cannot teach a kid when they are not listening. It's just like we all parents, we know, second generation, we tend to pamper our children. You have everything provided. Then you know what happened? After you cook everything ready already, you want to call your children, come down and eat. How difficult, you know? Boy! Dinner! Boy! Sufan! You know what I say? Ma, later lah. Later lah. Then you go, knock the door. Boy! Have to go down for dinner already. Everybody waiting for you. I know lah. I come down after. This is not the way, understand not? Then when they come down, you know what they tell you? Huh? Every day cook like that lah. No better food lah. We go out lah, KFC lah, McDonald's lah, that restaurant lah, I remember very well. How? So pampered. You know what my mother did or not? Because we are a big family. You don't come back in time, quatumo. Bone also don't have. That's the way. Then after that, you want to eat, my mother say, well, go and cook yourself. That's it. Then everybody, no need to call. That's how you did. That's why I told my wife, wait till they get into trouble, when they experience life. There was one day, my daughter also know, my son came back, standard 4, I think. The classmate together with him, who is very intelligent, very smart, they all first and second in the class, his best friend. We are same frequency, he can talk to him. A few days, that classmate didn't turn up. Then he went and asked the teacher, how come my classmate, this person, didn't turn up for so many days? Then the teacher break the sad news to him. He said he died already. Very young. Don't know what type of disease, I also don't know. No accident. Just died like that. He cried. Then he came back. He was sad, moody, crying. I also don't know what happened to him. Then my wife came and tell me. Then I saw him like that. Then I went and talked to him. I said, come. I called him. Then I said, sit down. I said, do you want to talk about it? I said, something happened in school. I can suspect that. Then I said, don't worry. This is life. Everybody go through life. There are moments we are not happy. Things happen. Do you want to share? Then she burst into tears. Then while he was crying, he told me all those things. He said the friend passed away. Then. And he cannot accept that. Because when he was very young, he went for the Novici program. Actually, I was underage, but he got to join. Then he went to the library. That time he was 6 years old. I haven't got to study one or so. Then I told him about library or those things where you can receive a lot of books, a lot of understanding. He straight away, after the first day, Novici program in Radha, he went up to a library. He wants to borrow a book. Then the librarian looked at him so small. He said, "Who are you? Are you a participant? But you are underage." Then he said, "Chief Reverend gives special permission." "Oh, then what do you want to borrow?" He said, "I want to borrow a book." "Oh, okay." He registered here and he went in. You know what book he borrowed or not? The Life of the Arahan. No? He get that book down, no? And he reading it. No? Everybody got a shock. 6 years old, Reverend Mahendra was conducting the knowledge, but he answered questions. No? Then my wife told me he saw one TV program or show. He saw somebody die. You know? At that young age, he tell my wife, "No, I don't want to die." He's passed. Then when he told me that, I said, "Don't worry. Don't worry. I will explain to you." I said, "You calm down. After you listen to me, you go and investigate and find out, see whether it's true or not." I say, "Before you are sad, you are not sad, isn't it? You are only curious, isn't it? Why did your friend didn't come, isn't it? True or not?" Then the moment you hear the news, it's from something you hear, and then like my daughter say, I say, your brain with the attachment grabs and cling, and you cannot accept that reality. What makes you cannot accept the reality? I told you it's only a thought, isn't it? The thought that tell you he's your best friend, now he's gone. And your thought cling onto that relationship. Then he looked at me. Then he didn't say anything. He went back to his room, he locked the door. I think he must be reflecting or contemplating inside there. The next morning, he wake up peacefully. He came out and greet me and say, "Daddy, thank you." I said, "Why?" "You are right. It's only a thought. Finish. His problem gone." "How? How? Just a kid, no? Standard 4. You think I teach him Dhamma? I never teach him Dhamma." But he and my daughter, every time we drive back to Alostar, we will play the tape, the Dhamma tape. They are listening. And I discuss with my wife, they are listening. That's why they pick up a lot of things, but that time they are too young to understand. So I said, "Never mind. You don't have to force them to go to Sunday school. You don't have to force them to come to Dhamma class. You ask my daughter." I never force them. Until they graduate also, up to them. They don't want to come to Dhamma class, no problem. You can ask her. Freedom. Understand? Why you want to be... just become my children, my grandchildren, I must educate them differently. I heard from Brother Teo, I heard from Jake, I must do this, I must do that. They are not ready. No condition, please don't try to do anything. Otherwise, boomerang back. You get into trouble for nothing. Sometimes you want to do good. Do good, want to help, good according to you. Because you can't understand. The condition not there. They are not ready. Please, don't waste your time. Just like your case. Before you are ready, do you think you can listen like today? The first time you come, you cannot listen at all. Understand? But when you are ready, when you have some understanding, cultivation, then when I share, you become interested. And that is the time to wake you up. Understand? That is the time to teach you. If you don't get into trouble, like Hokkien Langkong, Ho Chia Ho Kun, you think they're interested in Dhamma or not? They are not interested in Dhamma. That's why wait till condition arrives when they get into trouble. Then only they listen, ma. Otherwise, like eat food, call him, you think he got time for you. he is busy in the room, don't know what he do with the girlfriend, also you don't know, or boyfriend. No, not painful. Where got painful? If they don't have problem, you think they want to listen or not? If you don't have problem, you want to seek answer or not?
Repeat that statement. I would think that, you know, they say the clever one, learn from other people's mistakes, so you don't make the mistake. So before you get there, you learn the map, you learn the road. Say,
okay. Now I give you an example. Your parents are much older than you there. So what did they advise you? Don't drink ice. When you grow old, rheumatism, all those things. You listen or not? Don't take sweet. Every day brush your teeth so that your teeth is proper. You listen or not? That is their wisdom. That's how they want to pass on. Then study hard. Don't be heedless. You listen or not?
So I'm here.
I don't think you listen because you are more into you like complain or every day nag me or my parents. Cannot have boyfriend until
our time we don't get the chance to go out so late because the fact is your father's authority is so strong.
That is a very strong statement. Authority from your parents is so strong. People say authority already kau get strong now. Strong now. You are at the word authority is so strong. Means you fear your parents. And so then that time how to teach you? You obey because the authority is so strong. And so otherwise you think you obey.
I don't have that kind of perception. To me is that I know they love me. So basically we grow up in rotan or not? Then you don't get traumatized.
Grow up with what?
You don't feel your rotan.
Oh, rotan. You can ask my children.
Say my children no rotan. But the thing is, the fact is, I don't get traumatized.
No, I use rotan.
Oh, you use rotan.
But I don't cane like you. No. What I do is, because my daughter came and complained to me. She said, brother, you know lah, the small fellow always go and bully her one, take her thing. Then she's the elder ma. Then every time she whack him ma, then she complain ah. Then come back, my wife come and see me. I have to handle lah. Then I call the two of them here. Then I set a rule very simple. I told my daughter, you are elder, you are cheche. Whatever brother do wrong, you cannot react and hit him back or do anything. Well, you are cheche. Wait for me to come back. Tell me, then I deal with him. Then my daughter did that after that. Then my son very scared. He said, okay, you do. Then why I let you do? Daddy, come back, I'm going to tell daddy. Then when I come back, I will listen to her, then I call the small fellow. Come. Did you do this to cheche? Oh, of course, he got his reason as well. I already told you, I said, he's your cheche, you must respect her. Understand? Or? Then, as cheche, he will love you, protect you. He will not hit you or one. Then there is harmony. Understand? Or? That is what life. Then the other thing I warn them is, the whole world, after your parents, my wife and me is gone, your only relative is your brother. Your only relative is your cheche. Well, I got two kids only. You don't know how to appreciate this type of rare relationship and be in harmony to live life, and that's why they have good relationship now. You must teach them this way. My son don't like my mother because he nag one. You know my son trained children very well, no kid. 2 years old, 3 years old. You ask my daughter. He wants you to eat, you have to sit down and eat, otherwise the cane. My mother. Their granny. Oh, but they learn Hakka and they become disciplined. But they don't like my grandmother. Then I have to teach my son. Do you know who that old lady was or not? Do you know who is Popo or not? He cannot understand. We're so young. You know mommy or not? Oh, he know mommy. Popo is your daddy's mommy. Oh. Big. Oh. bigger, you know. Your dad already so big, you know. He is my mommy, you know. Then only he start to understand, you know. Then one day, because of karma, yeah, he make face to my mother, you know. Then he went to the swimming pool, he fell exactly that type of face. I took him to the mirror and said, you see, from that day onward, he never do that to my granny. Then he believed in karma. Although he didn't really follow much of my class, he believed in karma. Every time something go wrong, he very careful. Then he has the conscience. He never do all those things. This is how you train. Then when I ask him, he confirmed already. Even when he tried to justify, I say, come. If you do this again, I'm going to punish you. Give warning first. Understand now? Second time happened, then I take out the cane. I say, stretch out your hand. At first, reluctant. Then the hand come out. But my son, very gentleman. He agree one means he agree. Then I cane. Not too hard lah. Then, okay. Then later on, after kena a few times, you know what he did? He hide my cane. No? I don't know whether Sui remember. He hide my cane. No? Then you know what I told him? I didn't get angry. I said, okay, you do that. You think safe there? I go and buy a bigger one, longer one. I said, you hide. That's how they learn. Teach them when they are in that condition to learn. Don't try to teach when people, just like help, when people don't want you to help. Your client, that one tell you, the girl tell you what? Boaya. No. She replied in Hokkien what? Wo bu yao.
Oh, that is the Tiratana one.
Tiratana one. What did he say? Wo bu yao. Wo bu yao. Bu yao ma fan wo. Yeah? Because you want to help. Ayo. Use the mic. Yeah, I know they are better
children. From the experience, like you say, probably their memory, they are full of assumption, is that 你不要骗我, 你不要失望我, 我不要听这么多, 我的life是一天一天一天, I don't plan for tomorrow. So our job there is to create awareness that there is avenue for you to live life, but you got to help yourself. So at school, you're not doing well. We give you a skill.
Okay. That is a very good example. Now I answer you, okay? I tell you where you go wrong. Because to you, you have this what they call rigid training. I don't want to say knowledge. Rigid training. You have been trained like that. Create awareness. Whether they like or don't like or condition or not, you just want to move your way. Create awareness. Then you keep on saying, no, you've got a choice. Oh, this one, that one. But you are not in the position to understand in that mind state. You speak this way, you cannot change her. The resistance will be more. You know how to break the ice or not? Don't talk to her on any of your psychological counseling thing or create awareness. Be nice to her. Understand? To you, according to you, you already nice to her. Nice means no motive, nothing. Go and greet her. Whatever new. How are you? Have you had your breakfast? Do you want me to? No, to let them feel confident in you, understand? So that they really can trust you. That's why I say break the eye. You haven't even break the eye, go in only. Your training, I must have this awareness campaign and all. You build the rapport through what? Through your eagerness of mind to put all the knowledge that you have learned and just bombard onto the kid. That's why I say wisdom is not like that. One size fit all. Where can? Everyone different. Like you say, all their problems are different. Their karmic background are different. Without an overall understanding, you cannot teach. You cannot change a person. You understand? So, timing, everything, is very important. And you must have the wisdom and the understanding to see all this clearly. Okay, not much time left. We have to go on. Thank you. Thank you for your question, Kevin. The discussion was useful. Okay, let me continue. Page 60,
16 Heart Sutra Class 1.1. The six internal sense bases are our five physical sense bases and our one mind base. And the six external sense bases are their respective six sense data objects, like color, shapes, and forms. For the eye, vibration, sound, music, noise, etc. For ear, etc. Upon contact of mind, their respective sense door consciousness comes to be, and like the physics laboratory experiment of the light bulb, the switch and the battery upon contact, the light bulb lights up naturally. So in the same way, our sense door consciousness is also naturally conditioned arising. That is, upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases and sense object, their respective consciousness comes to be. Contemplative wisdom refers to the second turning wisdom called Chintamayapanya, whereas the meditative or bhavana type development via cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness refers to the third turning wisdom called Bhavana Maya Panya. Wisdom is always linked to harmony. This is the reason why the wise ones are always in harmony and at peace with all things no matter what happens. Sensual desire and ill will are the first two hindrances of the mind that will always arise when one reacts to one's sense experiences without wisdom. Reaction or stirring of mind also imply disharmony via wanting things our way. Memory is useful for remembering one's house address, name and bank account and signature, etc. But not for grasping, clinging and holding on to our unhappy, sad and fearful memories of our psychological hurts and emotional past, etc. These scars of memories must not be clung onto, otherwise they can condition one's sadness, grief, sorrow and lamentation, fear, insecurities, unhappy emotions, etc. Memories should be left in the brain as it is, like the ROM, R-O-M, and the RAM in the computer. That is, we do not cling on to it, but only access it when we need to make use of it to perform certain useful and appropriate action or function. True or actual meditation only begins when one's daily mindfulness has stabilized.
This one is very important. If your daily mindfulness has not been established and stabilized, the real meditation hasn't begun. Now you understand. Okay, continue.
That is when one is always aware and heedful throughout the day. To investigate the Buddha Dharma in daily life via cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness, to truly understand who we are, what we are, how we function as a human being via self-knowledge, and how we became what we are via understanding how our mind stirs at every moment of sense experience, and how we are conditioned into various mind states of suffering due to our own delusion and ignorance. The silent mind is clear, stable, aware. The silent mind in clear, stable awareness or mindfulness will enable us to be aware of the sense door consciousness that arise at every moment of sense experiences, thereby enabling us to witness all of the Buddha Dharma, like the Four Noble Truths, the Law of Dependent Origination, etc. As taught by the Buddha within our own form and mind or phantom-length body. This witnessing via the direct seeing can give rise to a lot of wisdom leading to the awakening or enlightenment in the here and the now.
Yeah, continue.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 16, Prajna and Emptiness, page 32 to 33, 2.1. Silence your mind and be aware from within or inside to realize the true mind. Then you will understand why only wisdom frees and liberates the mind and nothing else. Then you can understand Master Xuan Hua's commentary that states, with wisdom you can very naturally reach the other shore of nirvana. Very easily, very naturally, you get to the other shore without any need, expend any effort at all. 2.2 Question. Is the divine innocence of a newborn baby the same as the enlightened state? Brother Chia replied, no. The newborn baby's condition is different. Only the mind state of pure perception is quite similar. The reason being, in the case of the baby, the so-called pure perception comes about via a brain that is still quite innocent and pure, in the sense that it is not conditioned by any memories, views, opinion, conditioning or concept and words as yet. So the main difference is that mind state is not born of wisdom, whereas for those of the enlightened one, their perceptions are still pure perception, despite their memories, conditioning, etc. Due to their wisdom and there is clarity within their pure perception, that is, they are like a lotus flower. They are still pure and above the lotus pond, even though they originate from the filthy lotus pond below.
Good. Continue.
Part 3, meditation.
Pass the mic to Garrett. Garrett.
I refer back to item 2.1.
Okay.
With wisdom, you can very naturally reach the other shore of Nirvana.
Yeah.
Okay. In pure lens practice. Okay.
Yeah.
They encourage people to learn four how.
Yeah.
Namo Amitabha Pho.
Yes.
And then they said, with that, you can actually just go to the
pure land.
Pure land already.
Yeah.
Right, so silence your mind, keep on doing that, even without cultivating any other thing.
That one I need to explain to you.
That's why they
cultivate, but not the way the normal people understand.
Because there are a lot of teachers teaching like this, right?
I know.
And then they say this is the practice of pure
land.
They
don't have the understanding.
Yeah. Thank you.
The Pure Land teaching is very, very potent too, very good. I will explain this. Thank you for the question, Garrett. You get the mic back. You see, I have one whole section behind. I think before you came, we went through. There was an appendix, 144, page 144. Garrett, you go into page 144, then you can understand. Maybe I will just read to you the first part. Yeah, there was a question. Pure Land chanting, is it meditation? You got the page? Yeah. Appendix 3. Number 1. Pure Land chanting, is it meditation? You got it? Okay. Now we read. You listen. Developing the five spiritual faculties. Just like what Sister Monica said, chanting is only one of the method or technique or skillful means used to anchor your mind. But the Pure Land type of chanting is more than that. Because in the Pure Land tradition, they have this great faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that they chant. And due to the great vow of all these Buddhas and Bodhisattva, it can arise the causes and conditions for them to develop the strong affinity to connect to their vow. So Amitabha got 48 very, very heavy vows. And because his perfection is so special and unique that he can create Pure Land. So he can create affinity and match his vow, then with faith and understanding, you chant sincerely, it will bring forth the condition for you to take birth in the pure land. Then from there, they cultivate. So pure land is a very special rhyme which is not within the 31 plane of existence. But for you to go there, your chanting must have reached that level where your mindfulness, awareness is very clear. Your faith, of course, is already very clear. Otherwise, you won't go that way. A lot of people were skeptical, especially Theravada. You know what they used to tell people? Where got such Buddhism one? That's why they criticized Mahayana as all this teaching not recorded in Theravada Sutta. And the worst is they go and elaborate without understanding. They say, chan, no need to meditate, no need to cultivate Four Noble Truths, no need to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, also can become enlightened. No? You believe or not? Very logical, isn't it, the argument? Just Amitofo, 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 day in and day out like that. But it can be done. Yeah, they don't understand the teaching. They didn't even go deep into it. They didn't know what Mahayana tradition is. So what happened is when they chant until no one is chanting. Well, their faith is really very strong. Then it drives them to cultivate. That's why they chant. They chant is to develop the mindfulness. Then develop the kong an, wisdom. Sei zai nian fo. You know Mandarin is a bit. Huh? Get it? You can understand. Sei zai nian fo. Who is chanting the Buddha's name? That's why through that mindfulness, awareness, spiritual faculty, they will suddenly realize nobody is chanting the Buddha's name. It's just an awareness. The true mind. Then all of a sudden, when their mind develops that type of stability of mindfulness, then they develop samadhi in daily life. Then everything they do, they are mindful, aware. Then they can see things as they are. Then they can relate to the teaching. Do you know Pure Land teaching, Amitabha teaching? They have a lot of sutta which are very powerful. You heard of Wu Liang Shou Jing, right? That is Amitabha's teaching. Then another one is Wu Liang Yi Jing. These are all very, very profound sutta with a lot of wisdom. I still remember Wu Liang Shou Jing. I saw this three statement. I rejoice. Because they are so deep in their understanding. They can relate to daily life and tell you the obstacle that come from a few things. The first one they tell you is fan nao zang. You understand that? You worry, it become an obstacle. That one easy to understand. Second one is the most difficult, suo zi zang. Whatever you know is an obstacle. There is knowledge. There is not wisdom. That's why it's a obstruction. So their teaching is very profound. The moment I read that statement, I knew they are very wise. Then they talk about 过去心不可得, 未来心不可得, 现在心也不可得. These are all very, very deep wisdom, very penetrating. And because of the understanding, that's why wisdom free, their mind free. Then they suddenly realize the form of mind is not real. 五蕴皆空. That's why the heart sutta, everything become very clear to them. 色受想行识五蕴皆空. Then 色不异空，空不异色. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. So all this, they understand through the meditative understanding. That's why they awaken. Without wisdom, you cannot have the understanding and you cannot have the affinity to actually match the vow of Amitabha. So that chanting is a very important faith development followed by spiritual faculty development. When your five spiritual faculty is there, the mental hindrance ceases to be. Then you are in the meditative state all the time. moving, walking, chanting, everything you do is in the meditative state. That's why they will have the direct seeing, they will understand the truth, they will understand the teaching. That is the real meditation. But they don't go and subdivide until like the Theravada, four noble truths, three turning, noble eightfold path, everything. They also have their teaching, but most of them, Mahayana is like that. The basic teaching, which is the foundation of the Buddha's teaching, like all the four noble truths, three turning, the essential Dhamma. You go to Mahayana temple, the training, they don't teach you all this one. All this, there are certain sutta that cover small part, but they are all not emphasized. The emphasis is chanting, kongan, doing all the, like what we saw here, huh? The morning chanting, afternoon chanting, the evening chanting. Then they have their routine. And all these are chanting the great sutta of all these great beings, like Kuan Yin. Like last night, I think they did a store, Bodhisattva and all those things. It's to connect to their vow, the affinity and everything, and develop the mindfulness training, the spiritual faculty. That's why people cannot understand, they simply comment. So I read on, you will understand. Huh? Their vows are very heavy and powerful because of their great virtue, wisdom, and perfection. Hence, all these vows can become part of nature's law and they will manifest and respond on their own. That is, you don't need to have the Buddha or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva to be all over the places to listen to you and respond. Because of the Buddha's and the Bodhisattva's great vow, if you chant with understanding and you do it sincerely with very strong faith, it can help you to develop a very strong affinity with the nature, and that faith and affinity will connect you to their vows. And their vows will bring forth the causes and conditions to assist you to progress along the path of Dhamma and help you develop the spiritual faculty needed for you to develop the meditation. That's why all this is possible. Yeah. Then after that, how it leads to heedful living. That's why even though you see them like only chanting, but in actual fact, they are training their mind to be heedful via mindfulness of the Buddha's name. Their faith in the Buddha's name will arise, the strong saddha, due to repeated chanting with faith and understanding, leading to the virya, spiritual zeal. Then together with the sati developed via the chanting, walking and bowing, reverential salutation, etc., it will bring forth the sati and samadhi needed to develop the clear mind, which is the meditative or silent mind without thought, to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom, which is the last of the five spiritual faculty. So when sati and samadhi are established, then during every moment of their daily life, when they see, hear, smell, taste, feel something, they will be very different because they will be no longer heedless like before. Instead, they will be heedful most of the time, and their mind are very calm, peaceful, and just aware without thought. Hence, clarity of mind. Most of the time. And this is possible because they hold on to their mantra with faith, and they do it very sincerely and diligently. Then overcoming the five spiritual faculty. Yeah? To develop the meditation, we only need to develop this five spiritual faculty, which will help us overcome the five mental hindrance that hinders one from becoming peaceful and mindful. These five mental hindrance, you don't have to fight them, control or suppress them, or worry about them. Once these five spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya are there, the hindrance will cease to be. And then the mind with sati and samadhi will have the clarity to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom. Then their mind is no longer heedless, and they will no longer see things with the conditioned mind. There is no more seeing with their views, opinion, and egoic mind, and their thought will no longer interfere with their direct seeing, which will lead to the awakening, understanding, and the enlightenment. they will see the dependent origination within their own form and mind. They will start to understand the Four Noble Truths on their own. Then they will see clearly what the Buddha meant by the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties. They will also see clearly the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion within their own mundane mind, and why the Buddha called them evil roots. They will also come to understand how the seven factors of enlightenment come to be, and their sense bases actually, how their sense bases actually function. That is, how upon contact, consciousness and feeling comes to be. And because they have sati and samadhi, they will also have the ability to see clearly how thought delusion, how through delusion one is conditioned into negativity, grasping, clinging, and attachment. Then how suffering comes to be. Then when they are just silent and aware, they will come to understand how the arising of the non-arisen hindrance of mind comes to be. Then later on, when they continue to just silent and aware, they will come to understand how the disappearance or the abandoning of the arisen hindrance comes to be. Then how through non-delusion, they will know how in the future, how the non-arising in the future of the abandoned mental hindrance comes to be, and how all these are possible. This is how they will cultivate the satipatthana or four foundation of mindfulness, then leading to enlightenment. I will read that after. Wait, I read this part first. Sati will allow them to also understand how their mind stir via their delusion to react to sense experience, to arise the craving, or their evil roots, to condition them into suffering. This is how Pure Land chanting can also lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. Note, sati is awareness or mindfulness before the knowing, and samadhi is the collected and unwavering silent mind. Okay, now you can continue.
Hello. Yes. Just for your information, Brother Teo, our late chief, he actually talked to President Liu many years ago. He said in this mode of Shiqi, that's why I refer back to the sister in the children education. He said in this mode of Shiqi, if children are being taught to chant Namo Amitabha, that is good enough already. And then you see, because by teaching the children in Sunday school, all this, all that, noble truth, all this, all that, very, very difficult to understand.
Okay.
So currently in the Buddhist circles, right, they are actually talking a lot. What is the best method to teach?
Right? Oh, okay.
Right. So Pure Land become one of the very, very popular one now.
Popular syllabus.
Because the Pure Land people are saying this is the easiest helicopter method, okay? Because Buddhists are losing out to Christian, right? Yeah. Christian is very easy, believe in me, I will save you, right?
Yeah.
So, for the Theravada section, now if you have to cultivate and learn all this, it's a bit difficult, right? So now the new syllabus is basically talking about, we teach the children to chant first.
Okay.
Right? But of course, there are a lot of people are fighting against it, without really knowing the Pure Land. So they are doubtful by teaching them to chant. Really can go to Nirvana. This is what is happening in the Buddhist circle.
So this one is very good. Thank you for your very good feedback and input. At least now we know. So the problem with Buddhism is actually a lot. I think what Garrett spoke on is very true. We are within the Buddhist circle. there's a lot of difference of opinion and view. Because the reason is they lack overall understanding. When you lack overall understanding, then there is fear. To them, the Theravada, especially those who don't have the full understanding, to them is very dangerous. You just teach them to chant. Are you sure it will lead to enlightenment, lead to Nibbana? Then the other side, Pure Land, tell you a different argument, which is also logical. You think so easy to understand the Four Noble Truths, the Essential Dhamma. There are so much things that you have to learn and cultivate, and it cannot be done easily. And you teach all this, it becomes knowledge. Their Pure Land tradition, this is very easy. Chant, have faith. Then you connect to the vow will take you along. So one side present his view, logical. The other side present their view, also logical. We both don't have the complete understanding. But when you have the complete understanding, you can accommodate both. Because kids are kids. People who want to be trained, it's their choice. Which is better? Which is more suitable to them? You have to observe the kid. You have to observe how they get themselves attracted to which one. If they have the past, the moment they hear the chanting, like a lot of my Kanyamita, they came, I teach Theravada teaching. But they have great affinity with Mahayana. Like Alicia, Ti Chang Wang, very natural, settled in. And a lot of them have Kuan Yin's affinity, background, Amitabha. It doesn't mean that they cannot learn. They can learn. Then they connect back. Well, sometimes in certain line, when you go for all this, they will come to know that the foundation is very important. The foundation is a handful of leaf. The basic essential Dhamma and essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths in it and its three turning. Well, according to the Buddha, when he spoke to the monk under the Samsipa group, he told the monk, which is more, the leaf on my hand or the leaf in the forest? So they told him, definitely the leaf in the forest. So he told them, likewise, what I have cultivated, developed and understood is like the leaf in the forest. But what I have taught you is just a handful. Why? Well, this is conducive for enlightenment. This is conducive for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation. So when you have this base, you will realize the initial sainthood way. Then after that, you want to go the bodhisattva way, you can move on from here. So now, a lot of Mahayana teachers, they also come to know, the best is to combine the Theravada and the Mahayana. They both have their special understanding and usefulness. So Mahayana, who are not trained in the basic Theravada teaching, they should learn. Then it will help them to understand why they chant, like how I explained to you. How come I can understand both traditions? It's because I'm exposed to both. And it's the individual's choice. It's also their past affinity and karma. That's why when you come to my class, I never tell you you must follow my method, my technique. No such thing. Your method and technique never define the meditation. Then you don't have to be a Buddhist also to come to the class. You don't have to be whether Theravada or Mahayana. It's up to you. You can come from any Buddhist society. We are Kayanamita. That's why this should be the concept. This should be the understanding. Freedom. You have both traditions, but you must have the understanding, the overall understanding, to understand that both work. Both can lead to enlightenment. If you cultivate it correctly with understanding, then there is no argument, no division. Whoever good at which, teach. Whoever not good at that one, please, don't go and teach something that you don't understand or you are not familiar. So with this understanding, it will flourish. It will avoid conflict. It will avoid misunderstanding. And this is what I believe the Buddhist community need. That's why you should when you come together, we are all Kayanamita, Dhamma friends, for you. So that you don't have to subdivide whether we are Theravada, Mahayana, Vajrayana, or I am from which Fo Jiao Hui, or which temple. Within Theravada, so many temples, so many divisions. Then they attach and cling to method, technique, and teacher. Then they got Vipassana. Then after that, they got Burmese tradition. They got Thai tradition. Within Burmese tradition, so many traditions. Understand? Then all the division, everybody is focusing on method, technique, not on the teaching, not on the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, the essence of his teaching, the message. So hopefully, with this, Garrett, I have answered you. You want to add, my daughter? Okay.
Yeah, something occurred to me as I heard this. I think it has value in songs and poems like the San Zi Jing. Even though kids don't understand, they like to listen to it, they memorize it, they chant it, they learn Mandarin. After that, when they are older, I think the words start to have their meaning and they start to ponder. So when I went to Sunday school, I actually don't remember much, but there's one chanting that stuck to me, the avoid all evil, do good, is advice all of the sabar pa pasa agaranang kusala sa upasampada sa chitta pariyodapanang etang buddhanu sasana. That was since young. Always in the back of my memory.
It went into her subconscious. No, because in the past, they have cultivated, they heard before, then to them, that is very important. That's why it will go in on. Like the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, nobody taught me. I already knew what that thing is, the secret of life. Nobody can summarize all his understanding into that. That's why my nature knows. It's from the past. And all this is correct. What she say? When they are young, teach them how to sing song. You remember yesterday? Oh, Garrett hasn't come. The Sunday school, how happy they are. Wow, they chant with joy. You can feel their joy. Understand? And my wife also, after so long, San Bao Ge, is it? The San Bao Ge. She said, long time haven't heard already the children singing. Because she is Fo Jiao Hui Lao Si in the school, primary school. So when she heard that one, full of joy. Because I can feel the joy of the kid, understand? So much enthusiasm, but they are not teaching the Dhamma yet. We are teaching how to sing first. And under the sutta, that day at the Sunday class, I share that sutta, Fa Hua Jing, Fa Hua San Bu Jing. Garrett, you familiar or not? The first one is what? Wu Liang Yi Jing, the sutra of innumerous meaning. That one start with the introduction, that virtue. Virtue is very powerful. The moment you have virtue, you have Dhamma. Without virtue, you don't have Dhamma. Then the best is the next sutta, Fa Hua Jing. If I'm not wrong, Fa Hua Jing got 28 chapters. And within the 28 chapters, there were a few chapters on the parable of the moving cart. You heard of it or not? He said, the parable said, when the house is on fire, how do you save the children? Because they are still so young. So he pushed in the cart with a toy, attract them, put them in, then pull them out. After they come out of the fire, no more danger already, then he said he will send them somewhere with another cart, a bigger cart. It's just like teaching the Theravada first, initially. Then when they understand this, they are safe already, they have the base already, then move them to the higher teaching. That's how you teach. That's why when the kids are too young, don't be too eager to teach. But they are not mature, understand or not? They don't have that exposure in life to understand all this. So let them grow out, let them chant like my daughter went through. Then the thing that they like from their past was singing. Then they will know how to progress from there, after that. Then those who have their path, You no need to teach one. Like my nature come. Nobody need to teach me. When you are ready, the teacher come, the guide come, the book come. Then sometimes the teacher also, they just share with me what they know. But some of the thing, they may not have the full understanding of. But the moment they mention that truth, my nature already know. I already have the understanding. So there are people with special paths that can understand. And these are the people who can share and teach where they come for the living beings. So these are all very important understanding. So because Garrett is involved in all this, which is very good. So with the understanding, he can contribute idea to them. Then the Buddhist community will not be divided like before. Then we will keep on improving on all this. It's just like ISO, International Standard Organization. If a company applies ISO, it's self-learning. You come out with a clear picture of what your company is doing. Means the work processes, the whatever chart, or your flow chart of what you do, your company. So that your whole organization chart, together with your organization's objective that you want to achieve, and what other thing you do, all the various departments, they got their flow chart. So this flow chart is self-improving. Every time you put it in, initially may be very crude. Then you improve on it. You improve on it. That's why it's called ISO, International Standard. Then later on, the new people, when they want to come, you can employ new graduate. Then they learn very fast. Because of ISO, everything is very systematic one. We're done in a very systematic manner and in a very refined manner. Because through experience, they keep on improving, self-improving. Well, I was involved with ISO, I know. And I realized it is very good. It's a very good management tool to improve. So a young, inexperienced engineer can be trained by a senior and become very useful. Because he looked at the past project, he looked at the ISO flowchart, then he know what to do, then he improve on all the things. The letter you write to consultant, the letter you write to contractor or whatever, you improve on it. Then it evolve and become better and better and better. And that is how our Buddhist community should actually develop an ISO standard for your own activity that you want to evolve and make it really, really something very, very useful in the future. So the direction is towards standardizing with understanding. ISO is a very good way. Because before I retire, I did for two companies. One consultant and one public listed construction company. So they are very useful. Okay, 12 o'clock. Lunch. Good timing. Oh, 2 more minutes. Okay. Maybe we will break for lunch. So we'd like to thank all those who partake in the discussion, asking all the relevant and good questions. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then we can break for lunch. You pay your respect, then we break for lunch.